the wine and food festival is what you should be doing. But later on today at the festival, there's going to be lots of chef demos, and I want to show the chef chair of the event, Scott Druneau. Scott Druneau, stand up, please. Stand up, stand up. You're tall. Stand
Scott's
up.
Scott Druneau, executive chef
at The Source by Wolfgang Puck, and he's going to be doing a demo later on today, as well as Mike Isabella and Rock Harper. They're all going to be in the house.
But I do have to say something about Scott, because Mike Isabella has a restaurant called G, where every month,
you know, the sandwiches,
guests get to come in and create a sandwich, and then there's a competition to see who sells how many. And until this month, Scott was the reigning champion.
No, Danny at Mandu was the reigning champion.
Whatever. I'm telling a story here.
Okay, sorry.
Then we invented the Beast, which was a brisket sandwich?
A brisket banh mi.
And it kicked ass.
It sounded delicious. We never had it.
Sold 530 of them. So we are the winners. Thank you very much.
Yay, us!
And I just wanted to publicly embarrass Scott. And thank you, Scott. So go ahead.
But when you go to G, our sandwich is no longer on there. You should absolutely order the Druneau,
because
it's a delicious sandwich. All right, so let's talk about who's here today. So we have with us Brent Kroll from all the neighborhood restaurant groups. You know them like the brand new Iron Gate, Rustico, Birch and Barley, Church Key. I mean, there's so many. He is the wine director there, and he has a fabulous palate. Also with us is Tom Finnegan of Vine Crush. He is a wine educator. I'm going to let you introduce the rest.
Joachim Zeip, he's the beverage manager at the new Osteria Marini down on the waterfront. If you haven't been there, it is awesome.
Right.
Awesome.
Actually, you haven't been there, but I've
been there. No,
not
I went there without. I certainly have.
Oh, okay.
I don't go everywhere with you.
Okay, maybe not.
Is there anybody out there married? Do you go through this crap all the time? My God. Sebastian Marchetti is a general manager and winemaker at Duke Caney Winery in West Virginia.
Correct.
Virginia.
What did
Real
I say?
Virginia?
You said West Virginia.
Well, it's West Virginia.
Yes.
All right. And we saw Druneau, and Laura Sorge is the winemaker at Washington State's Red Diamond Wines, and she's really going to lead where are you, Laura? You
she's
down
there?
Raise your hand.
All the way over there.
She's going to lead our tasting today, but let's talk about talk to the members of our panel. Brent, we met you at Ardeo, and I think you were like 12 when you were the sign there. And now
you still look like you're 12.
I was going to say, you got into wines early. I'm not sure that's a good thing for a kid, but give us the 411 on you.
I started trying drinking wines, probably illegally early. I was a college student. They were starting to read wine books when I was about 19, and it kind of led to a wine career later on. But when I first met David and Nikki, I was 23, and I was the sommelier at Ardeo Bardeo in Cleveland Park, so it's been a good journey from constructive drinking to famous radio shows.
They used
like
to card
this.
Him every night when he would come into work.
But tell everybody where you are now and where they can find you.
I work for Neighborhood Restaurant Group, so I generally float between all their restaurants. We have the new Iron Gate across from the Tavern Inn in a DuPont Circle. It's one of the oldest running restaurants in all of Washington, D.C. It was a former horse stable for a Civil War general in the 20s. We have Blue Jacket, a new brewery down by the stadium. Birch and Barley Church Key on 14th Street, and the new Red Apron Partisan that just opened in March in Chinatown, which is our own butcher.
All right. Very good. Okay, let's go to you, Tom, a wine consulting company. Tell us what people need consultants for with wine.
Well, what I really like to say to people is I took a bad habit and made a career path out of it. So I get to do fun stuff like this. I went to college for music, so naturally I started waiting tables. And when I, while I was waiting tables, I got into wine. I had great teachers, and then I ended up working my way into management. Before I came down here, I was the wine director of Ming Tsai's Blue Ginger in Wellesley and worked on his television show, Simply Ming. In the city right now,
You're like a name
wine.
Dropper. That's dropping names.
Name drop. In the city, I get to work with people like Brent and Joachim selling them wine, but I also get to talk to people about wine, teach people about wine, and basically get them excited about it. One of the things I do is teach the Wine and Spirits Education Trust with Washington Wine Academy, and also teach at restaurants and just general events for people. I think the first time I came in with you all was to talk about the DC Wine Expo, one of those times.
Way back when.
You're right, a long time ago. We've been doing this a long time.
So hey, I always have fun with you all.
Good.
All right, so let's talk to Joachim Zeip. Joachim, I was reading your biography, and I guess a sensitive and esteemed palate runs in the family because your grandfather was blind and used to, he roasted cocoa and could...
Yeah, that's right. My great-grandfather. My
grandfather
was a baker, but my great-grandfather was blind and he roasted cocoa beans basically completely on his nose.
Did that hurt?
Yes, it was painful, it was delicious chocolate at the end. He did do everything just based on smell, so I can attribute my nose to him. I currently work for Alta Maria Group, which is a New York-based group, but we opened our first restaurant here down in the Navy Yard on the waterfront. It's called Osteria Marini. We're doing rustic Italian food from the Emilia-Romagna region of Italy. So lots of pastas, really rustic food. We got a wood-fired grill. It's absolutely fantastic. The food's great. Everyone should come down. We have a patio that looks over the water. It's nothing like that in D.C. right now. So, and we're right up the street from Blue Jacket. So if you want to grab a beer after the game, you can do that too.
You can have some wine and some beer. All right. Let's talk about Sebastian. Sebastian, you are also a winemaker, and you knew you wanted to start making wine when you were 12?
Yes.
Everybody starts very early in the wine industry.
Now, where was this? Where
it was in Brooklyn. No, it was in Burgundy.
So you're in Burgundy. See, that's the thing, because American kids, except at Passover, don't ever touch wine.
Yes, my grandfather was winemaker in Burgundy, also my great-grandmother, and I decided at 12 years old to study winemaking. So I went to school, boarding school, learned chemistry, winemaking, and viticulture. Mm-hmm. So I make wine now for 25 years, and I travel the world. So I established myself here in Virginia, 45 minutes away from Washington, D.C., where we have a magnificent winery. Mm-hmm. And we produce world-class wine here.
How many acres are you, do you have planted?
We have 45 acres vines on the estate. We produce 5,000 to 6,000 cases per year. And we really do a direct sale. So we create a club membership where people can come and share the wine with us.
Can they come to the winery?
Yes, definitely. We have a beautiful area. We have horses on the farm and mm-hmm. cattle and vineyard. And
tell everybody where the winery is.
It's near Purcellville and mm-hmm. on Route 9, direction Charlestown.
The winery is Ducaney Winery. Oh, we have a return customer. Excellent.
That's right.
Okay.
All right.
Let's move on to Laura.
Laura, where are you? Okay.
Laura's like stuck back there.
So, as we said, Laura Sorge is a winemaker out of Washington State with Red Diamond Wines. And Laura, why don't you step up and tell everybody a little about you?
I started my career in winemaking in sort of a circuitous path. I was in the biopharmaceutical industry and research and decided I need to really embrace my creative side
like
a little bit more.
Is that like WMDs? What are you making there?
Biomolecules, purification schemes for those kind of things. So I decided that my creativity needed a little more exploration, so I blended two of my passions, wine drinking and science. And so I found a path to Columbia Crest Winery, where I'm now the red winemaker mm-hmm. and represent Red Diamond as its winemaker as well.
So did you ever get confused early on, and did any of your wines, like, explode or anything? You
know? No, not so far.
No, okay, I'm just asking. I don't know. What do I know?
All right, well, it looks like we have a little bit of time. You poured a first wine. We're all going to sip and swirl it, but can you give us, like, just a little – don't give it anything away, but can you give us a little introduction to the wine?
Well, it has.
Does everybody have it? Do you guys all have
wine? Everybody have
wine?
Everybody have the glass? Okay.
You need more? Well, I see a guy that needs more. This guy.
Okay. Okay, go ahead.
So, being from Washington, I wanted to start off with a wine that has its roots in Washington State.
Mm-hmm. That's it? That's our big.
That's it? Boy, that's a tip or two.
Well, I think you can. Pretty much.
Okay, and I'm looking at it.
Guess
I'm guessing.
The varietal.
I'm just going to guess it. It's a white wine. Is that?
There you go.
Yeah, all right.
We're
okay.
All trying a white
wine. All right, take a sip. Let's see if we can figure it out. Let's go down the line here and see what you guys tell us.
All right, Tom, let's start with you.
Going to make me choke over here.
Sorry.
I was in the middle of swirling it.
Okay.
Well, for me, this wine, it's got a medium to high acid. It's got some really good green grape. Citrus fruits, maybe just a little touch of tropical fruit, mm-hmm. and there's that little kiss of residual sugar at the end. It's got a really light lemon color, which would mean maybe a thin-skinned grape or a grape that's grown in a very cool climate.
Okay.
But since it's not as dark, it doesn't. You can tell by the nose and the color that it hasn't seen any oak.
Okay.
So am I supposed to tell you what I think?
Yeah, what do you think it is?
I think this might be a Riesling.
Okay, and where do you think the Riesling is from?
With the slightly lower acidity, I'd probably say it's New World, possibly America.
Okay, and do you want to get even more specific?
Sure. We could say Pacific Northwest, Washington State.
Okay, there we go.
Being that we started with a Washington wine.
I think it lives at 3709 Forker Street in Spokane.
Okay, Brent.
That's what I think.
What do you think, Brent?
I'll probably have to go before him next time. He said a lot of really good things. That's a tough one to follow. I kind of agree with his assessment. The wine does have a lot of mouthwater and acidity. It's very kind of sour, tart on the finish. Mm-hmm. A lot of lemon, lime, white peach, which makes me think absolutely that it could be Riesling as well. Riesling being debatably the most acidic grape on the planet. I mean, it's just a really refreshing mouthwatering wine to start off the day with. And I agree with his assessment where he puts it as far as no oak, Pacific Northwest, Riesling.
Okay, I'm going to go to both Joachim and Sebastian at the same time. I mean, are we all in agreement?
Yeah, absolutely.
We all think it's Riesling? What about everybody in the audience?
Come on.
Riesling? Do we say Riesling?
No. Wait. Do I hear a Bordeaux? No, nothing.
Everybody thinks it's Riesling? All right, well, we're going to take a break in just a sec. Let's do the big reveal. Laura, let's see if we're right. Is it a Riesling?
It's a Riesling, a testament to the brilliance of your
panel. I knew it.
It's Chateau Saint-Michel's 2012 Eroica Riesling.
Okay, can you tell us a little bit about the wine?
It's a really interesting wine. It is made in collaboration with Dr. Lucin, who is a renowned Riesling producer in the Mosel. And it just has...
Whoa.
What's a Mosel?
What's a Mosel?
It's a grape-growing region in Germany, and I'll give it to our wine educator if he wants to elaborate.
Okay.
Uh-oh. We lost sound here, Tim. I'll tell you what a Mosel is. It's a grape-growing region in Germany.
There we go.
You don't have a mic either.
There we go. Go. All
right.
Yeah. Very northern Germany, cool climate, some of the most acidic grapes and some of the most revered single vineyards for Riesling, and some of the most expressive and minerally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Mosel region, actually, because it's so cold, the river is a huge part of it. The river is actually a heat bank for the grapes. The river heats up and reflects sunlight back into the vineyards. So they're able to actually grow this grape into very, very high elevation, very northern regions of Germany, because it does hold that heat really well. And the soil is mostly slate, which also is a darker rock, which holds that heat really well and literally warms up the grapes and allows them to ripen through the season. Right. Otherwise, it'd just be too cold.
You know how many people like Riesling? Because all the Psalms love Riesling. Who likes them? Hands?
I love Riesling.
Everybody likes Riesling? I know, you all like Riesling. I don't like Riesling.
All right,
like
so were you, did like you guys pick all. It?
Did we got it? We got a Riesling.
No?
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we've got five more wines that we're going to try. This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We are at the National Harbor Wine and Food Fest. We'll be back in just a sec.
Hey, everybody, it's David and Nikki, Foodie and the Beast, here to tell you all about Great Tastes of Tyson's, the fun food and wine festival happening May 31st and June 1st out of Tyson's Corner. There are going to be 150 wine vendors from all around the world. You can taste spirits and brews, including craft brews from all around the D.C. area. There's a great cooking stage with the sources Scott Druneau, Washington Post food editor Joe Yonan, and lots more. For information, go to tastetysons.com. We'll see you out there.
In today's competitive job market, imagine not having the reading skills needed to even fill out an application. 90,000 adults in D.C. are considered functionally illiterate. It takes a lot for an adult to admit they can't read. It takes even more courage to do something about it. The Washington Literacy Center teaches adult learners to read, giving them options and a bright future. Please give back to the community by donating today. Go to WashingtonLiteracyCenter.org and make your much-needed charitable contribution. Changing lives through literacy. WashingtonLiteracyCenter.org.
This is Mark Amtower. If you're looking for cost-effective and efficient methods for marketing your products or services to the government or to other government contractors, look to LinkedIn. There are over 400,000 members in the D.C. area and more than 92 million nationwide, but only a small percentage actually use it well. I can show you how to leverage LinkedIn in ways that support your marketing, sales, and business development efforts. I do this for large and small companies, and I can do it for you. Drop me a line at mark@federaldirect.net.
The American Veterans Center invites you to attend the 2014 National Memorial Day Parade, Monday, May 26th at 2 p.m. along Constitution Avenue. Join thousands as we honor the sacrifices of our military from the American Revolution to today, featuring musical performances, marching bands, celebrities, and active duty personnel, all made possible with support from Strayer University, Wells Fargo, and visitmyrtlebeach.com. To learn more about how you can see the parade, visit nationalmemorialdayparade.com.
All right, we're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. We're out at the National Harbor Wine and Food Festival with a live audience doing blind wine tastings. And, you know, let me ask over here, Laura, before we pour the next wine, you guys, I mean, I don't have an educated palate. My palate dropped out in the third grade, unfortunately, due to family issues. So how do you taste the wine? What's the deal? What do you do?
Well, one of the first things that is huge is definitely to use your nose. I mean, it's completely connected. So don't forget to smell the wine. That's an absolutely a must to get the nuances of a wine. That's, you know, the first step.
And Brad, what about you? What do you think is really important when you're tasting a wine?
It's deductive tasting. It's almost like a game of guess who. Like, does this wine have a mustache? Is it wearing a hat or something like that? If I taste a wine and it isn't prolific in acidity, if it has a bunch of oak on it, if it's super floral, I start thinking about what it isn't to get to what it is.
Okay. And what about you, Sebastian?
I think it's really just about practice. So you have to taste wine
very
often. So
you have to drink a lot of wine in order to be good at tasting wine.
I think a lot of people in our audience are practicing wine tasters.
Right, it's also pay attention to your everyday. You know, you have smell every day when you wake up in the morning, when you walk in the grass, when you work in the asphalt. So it's very important to pay attention to the smell around you. And better you pay attention, more you can recognize flavor in the wine.
Yeah, literally stop and smell the flowers.
All right, so Laura, you just poured another wine, and everybody in the audience is getting a new wine poured for them. Can you just give us, again, don't give it away, but give us a little something so we can start figuring it out?
It's a varietal in California that generally they think of as it's the king of the varietals.
Okay. I feel like that gave
so,
a lot away.
I think it's Elvis.
All right. Has everybody sipped and swirled here?
It's bourbon.
It's bourbon. Again, I think it's a white wine. What do you...
Okay. All right. Sebastian, we're going to let you sip. And Yankum, everybody's taking a sip?
Imagine if I was doing the show by myself, how boring it would be.
All right. So, Sebastian, tell us your thoughts first.
Well, I think it's very well done. First, you have a nice balance. The flavors are very developed. And you have a very nice finish with a nice peak of acidity to keep the flavor up and going.
Mm-hmm.
So I really think that the Chardonnay is very well balanced.
Okay. He thinks it's a Chardonnay. Okay, next. Yochum, let's hear what you have to say.
All right. This is definitely a heavier wine on the mouthfeel. You can tell too, it's a higher alcohol wine. It's a little bit more yellow in color. I know that helps on a radio show, but it's also got definite toasty and oaky pronounced notes in the flavor. So I'm going to agree with my colleague here and say this is Chardonnay.
Okay. And do you want to pick a region? Do we want to get down a little bit? Pick a region?
I'm going to say New World, California.
Well, we know it's California. She said California. No cheating there.
So no cheating further into California?
Yeah, let's go further.
It's not like Sonoma Coast.
Yeah.
I misspoke on that, though, so don't think California.
Don't think California. Oh, so now we're getting curveballs thrown at us.
Okay.
It is higher in acid than I would expect for a California Chardonnay. So...
Well, so Tom, what about you? I mean, a lot of people think when they're talking California Chardonnays, it's going to be super, super oaky and super, super buttery. And this one is not like that at all.
No, you're correct. I think that was super, super oaky and super, super buttery was that kind of late 90s, early 2000s.
Right.
But it's kind of a U.S. thing. If you're going to do it, you do it 100%, right? You do it right over the top. And if it's going to go through that malolactic fermentation that gives you those buttery... you know, popcorn notes. It's going to be 100%.
Malolactic fermentation?
Yeah.
I had that, but it went away.
It's the new dance craze.
It is. I'm doing that later.
All right, Brent, what about you, man? We all agree it's Chardonnay, yes? Is everybody in agreement?
Okay. Wait, are you in agreement?
No? What do you think? Okay, so what do you think it is? She thinks that we got a Sauvignon Blanc out there.
Well, Chardonnay can have citrusy notes to it in addition to other flavors like apples and melons and tropical fruit.
Especially colder climate Chardonnay.
We got a Chenin Blanc over here, too. Chenin Blanc. All right, well, I think it's time for the reveal. Let's see.
Well,
Laura, what do you think we have?
You guys are brilliant again. It's a white Burgundy from Louis Jadot, and he's a negociant, so it's a blend of the different estate vineyards, and it's a 2012.
Okay. Oh, we're going to do the year.
Well, I said Burgundy on the last one. Can I
said Bourgogne Blanc
move that over?
Someone told me it was California.
All right, so we got a white Burgundy out of France. Okay, great. All right, well, let's pour it out.
Oh, my God.
Drink or dump, please. And it's time to start our next one. Laura, you ready to pour the next one?
I am.
Excellent. You want to give us a little region or little background?
Wait, let's make sure the audience gets taken care of. Do you guys have the new wine yet?
No, they're coming around with
they're
it
coming
right
around.
Now.
Yes.
Okay.
Coming right now.
All right.
Okay, great. So Laura's going to pour the next wine.
Well, can I ask a question while we're... Sebastian, here's my question, because there's a lot that goes into just getting a vine to grow. What do you do to the soil? I mean, once the thing's in the ground, is there, are you plowing? Are you weeding? Are you just leaving it alone? What do you do?
Well, you have many different type of soil, and that is what makes the wine. And
terroir,
the
I know that word.
Exactly.
That's
and
the
terroir
only
is,
I know.
Is very different than anywhere in the world, and any region in the world, and every village in the world. And this is why Burgundy is so exciting, because every block have a different type of soil and reveal different flavor. But also here in Virginia, for example, we have very heavy soil and we have a lot of granite.
It's not dark enough,
and that really helped the root
okay,
system
no cheating,
develop
no
and deep.
No discussing over there. I hear
wait,
you
wait,
talking.
Wait,
no
wait,
discussing.
Wait.
So the roots can go deep and get what the nutrients are inside the soil to provide a beautiful.
But do you have a guy that's like the dirt guy?
Yes, we have. We work with a geologist, and the geologist, you know, we do some test pit. We analyze the soil, see the pH. We adapt and control the pH to make sure that it's not too high. And at this point, we start to plow and plant the vines. So as we speak today, and we are planting vineyard in Duquesne Winery, an extra 5 acres, so with Cab Franc and Merlot and Ceval Blanc. And
nice.
So it's an extremely beautiful time because, you know, we plant a vineyard and we know that in 40 years, it will still here on site and on place.
Cool. Yeah. I won't be here, but I'm sure you will be.
Maybe
it'll
not.
Be terrific.
All right. Everybody got their wine? Everybody got the red? No? You're waiting over there? It's coming. There you
all
go.
Right. I'm going to go first as usual. I'm going to say this is a red wine.
There
Does
we
everyone
go.
Agree?
All right. Is everybody done
Thank
with that
you.
Joke? Okay.
No, I like that joke.
Okay.
That guy likes the joke. Okay. Yell Baba Booey. That's a boy. All right. We're going to get on the radio.
Ooh. Boy, oh boy. Okay.
Well, that's yummy.
Gentlemen, let's start. We'll start down at the end. Tom, what do you think?
Well, the wine itself is kind of like a medium to light ruby color, mm-hmm. which means it might be a slightly thinner skin grape or see a lot more time in oak, maybe to get some more oxygen in it. It's got a lot of red fruit, some red cherry, raspberry. It's got some herbaceous notes as well.
Mm-hmm. What's your call?
My call. It's kind of a tricky one. There's also some spicy notes there. I might say that this is... I'll probably go for maybe a Merlot from France.
Okay, a Merlot from France. She says she got it over there, right? You called it. Okay, Brent, what about you?
There's a lot of green notes in this. It is very herbaceous. A lot of times when you get this amount of pyrazines, you get it from Chile. You can get it from Loire Valley Cabernet Franc, but mostly from Bordeaux varietals like Cab Sauv, Merlot, Cab Franc. If I were to guess, I mean, I'd probably... Sometimes Washington State Merlot can have it, too. And I know there's some Washington wine here.
We have a Washington winemaker right behind you.
Right. So
I'm between Loire Cab Franc and Washington Merlot, but...
Got to call it.
I'm going to go Loire Cab Franc.
Okay, Loire Cab Franc. All right. Malcolm, let's hear what you have to say.
Yeah, it is a tough one.
I'm going to say you're wrong, Brent. I'm just telling you. Because Laura just told me.
I agree with Brent completely and Bordeaux varietals. I think just on the lightness of the wine, the red fruits, the blue fruits, the fact that it is light in tannin and not a really heavy wine, I'm going to lean more towards the Merlot side than the Cab Franc side. Based on color and tannins, I'm going to say this is Washington Merlot.
Okay, Washington Merlot. All right. Sebastian.
It's a tricky one. Is it 100%?
Yeah, I thought it was
not
a blend,
to
too.
Ask. You have to figure it out.
Oh, okay. It's maybe a blend. I'm not sure. Like it's that's definitely you have some Merlot, I believe, but maybe a little bit of Cab Franc as well. It's maybe a blend of both.
Okay.
But you have a nice woody, pretty heavy in wood as well, and very nice balance. It's a great wine. So.
And what do we think it is?
I think it's a Washington blend of Merlot, Cab Franc.
Okay, so now we've got a blend. What about in the audience? Anybody have an idea what they think it is? What do you think it is? You think it's a blend? Do you have any idea what kind of blend or just a blend? The Merlot Cab Franc? You're going to go with the experts? Okay, so Laura, let's get the reveal. What do we got?
This is actually the Red Diamond 2011 California Cabernet.
Oh, everybody was wrong. Oh, my God. Tell us a little bit about the Cabernet, please.
The Cabernet is sourced from the valley, and your panelists definitely identified the California notes of the herbaceous and a little bit of leafiness in that as well. It's very fruit-forward. The Red Diamond brand, the goal is to make a very approachable wine that everybody can enjoy, whether you're new to wine drinking or not.
It's a really good... What does everybody think of the wine? It's really light, very fruity. But it's, so since you all missed this one, everybody, what are the normal characteristics of a cab that you did not sense in this wine?
For me, color, absolutely.
I think for me, and going to what she had said as a winemaker, making this a much more accessible wine, this is not as tannic as a Cabernet Sauvignon would be, and it's
big.
More fruit
aren't they
forward.
More big?
Yeah, they're less fruit forward and more tannic, and this is a lot more fruit forward and very drinkable.
Okay. Brent?
Napa cabs can be some of the most powerful wines on the planet, so a lot of times...
they're also juicy. Aren't they also really dark?
Yeah, you can get them juicy, but just big with, like, roasted and, like, super dark fruit. Mm-hmm. And this is just a lot more lighter and herbaceous than what you can get on the heavier side of California. This is, like, the very much lighter side.
Mm-hmm. And Sebastian, at Ducaney, are you making wines like this? Can you tell us a little bit about the kind of wines there?
Yes, we are making a lot of Cabernet Sauvignon, Cabernet Franc. I think the best... Cab Franc we have in the region. We got the gold medal in the San Francisco Chronicle many times in a row, mm-hmm. so we don't have any complex to have with any Cab Franc in the world today.
Mm-hmm.
Our biggest challenge in producing wine in Virginia is the consistency. It's hard to be consistent because the weather condition can be very difficult one year after another and different.
But that's everywhere. Would you say California has less than that?
Yes.
Everybody's in agreement.
You know, I just want to say something. I think there's nothing more challenging to a guy than a handsome French guy with an accent who's a winemaker.
or a somme.
But I mean,
in the wine business.
I'm just saying. It's challenging to the rest of us.
I know. Yeah. You don't have a good accent either.
Mon Dieu, mon ami.
So we are going to get, everybody needs to finish this wine because we are going to start pouring our next one. And while we're doing that, we're going to take a quick break. And then we'll be back. We're going to pour the next wine, and we're going to find out more. We're going to get a little more information about the restaurants that are here today, find out about their wine program so you can go in and try them yourself. This is Nikki Nellis with my husband, David Nellis, Foodie and the Beast. We are
Thanks for mentioning me.
You're welcome. At National Harbor Wine and Food Festival. We're doing a blind wine tasting. We'll be back in just a sec.
Hey, everybody. It's David and Nikki, Foodie and the Beast, here to tell you all about Great Tastes of Tyson's, the fun food and wine festival happening May 31st and June 1st out of Tyson's Corner. There are going to be 150 wine vendors from all around the world. You can taste spirits and brews, including craft brews from all around the D.C. area. There's a great cooking stage with the sources Scott Druneau, Washington Post food editor Joe Yonan, and lots more. For information, go to TasteTysons.com. We'll see you out there. GovEvents.com is your one-stop shop for government and military events worldwide. With hundreds of event organizers posting their government and military-related conferences, trade shows, expos, webcasts, and more, you'll save time and energy using GovEvents to find events to attend, exhibit, or sponsor. Search for government and military events by date, location, keyword, organizer, or focus. It's free, so join today. GovEvents.com. That's GovEvents.com.
Discover what it takes to become a pilot at the National Air and Space Museum Stephen F. Udvar-Hazy Center in Chantilly, Virginia. Join them for the 10th annual Become a Pilot Family Day and Aviation Display. See dozens of visiting aircraft on display for one day only. Enjoy hands-on activities, story times, and kite flying demonstrations. Saturday, June 14th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., sponsored by Booz Allen Hamilton. WTOP is a proud media sponsor. Visit airandspace.si.edu. for details.
GovEvents.com is your one-stop shop for government and military events worldwide. With hundreds of event organizers posting their government and military-related conferences, trade shows, expos, webcasts, and more, you'll save time and energy using GovEvents to find events to attend, exhibit, or sponsor. Search for government and military events by date, location, keyword, organizer, or focus. It's free, so join today. GovEvents.com. That's GovEvents.com.
We are back with Foodie and the Beast, David and Nikki Nellis at the National Harbor Wine and Food Festival.
In front of a live audience. Woo!
Come on, make some noise.
Us. Let's hear it.
We're doing live wine tasting. I mean, blind wine tastings, and I always worry
it's
at this point
for
in
you
the
to
show.
Say.
Quiet. Well, I always worry that the audience is going to, you know, like get so wind up that they're not going to be able to clap. So let me hear some more clapping. Come on.
Put your glass down.
Come on.
For just a sec.
I'm looking out. I must see 500-600 people here. This is awesome. So we've just poured another wine, right?
We have.
Laura, how about some, you know, like, you know, some geographic hints?
Okay, no. We're going to be leaving the U.S.
Goodbye,
for
America.
This wine.
Okay. Farewell.
All right, so everybody, let's take a swirl.
Wait a minute. That's the hint that we're
leaving
America?
We're leaving America.
Yeah,
oh. Okay. I'm going to be good at this.
Okay. All right. Sebastian, did you already sip it and give it?
Not yet. No.
Not yet? Okay. Then let's start. Who has? Brent, can we start with you?
Yes.
All right. So what's your take on this?
It's not quite as herbaceous as the last one that says, like, bigger, darker fruit, more grip to it. Because of the tannin, I'm still stuck on Bordeaux varietal, but I'm kind of between Pacific Northwest and California, and is it Cab or Merlot is what I'm between at right now.
Yeah, okay. You're between two wrong places because we just left the U.S., didn't we?
Are we international or are we?
We're not in the U.S.
All right, all right, wait. Everybody gets a mulligan, Brent. Try it again, Brent.
Brent's like,
I'm straight in Bordeaux then.
Okay, straight in Bordeaux.
Yeah.
Can you go down to what year? Are you able to do that?
If I were to say year?
Yes. And how do you know? Like, what do you look at?
You look for the rim variation, like how much there is of it between the center and the outside. I mean, this would look to be...
Everybody try this without spilling it on themselves.
Probably 2008 or 9.
Yeah, that's what it looks like to me.
Okay. That's cool. I didn't know how people figure that out. All right. Tom, what about you?
There is a substantial amount of oak on this. There's a lot of cedary notes, so you can tell that this is a varietal, again, a thick-skinned varietal like a Cabernet or Merlot, or as Brent said, a Bordeaux varietal that's been aged for a period of time in oak, because you really get those nice, if you can get that kind of fireplace woodiness out of it.
Okay.
But I'll probably go for a Cabernet-based blend.
From? You can't leave the air that long.
No. I know. That's dead air's bad.
It's a radio show.
It's a radio show. You got to call it.
I will go back to Bordeaux for this one.
Okay. Yakum, what do you got?
Yeah, this is a toughie. On the nose, it's...
You say it's a toughie. You all got the last one wrong. So this one's harder?
I think that this is not... I think this is still New World wine.
Okay.
I don't think this is French. I think that we have gone south... there's a lot of alcohol in this wine and a lot of oak. I'm getting a lot of purple fruit on this, and I'm going to call this as Argentinian Malbec.
Okay. Oh, we're going to another region. All right. Sebastian?
I think I agree with you. I would say South Hemisphere, maybe Argentina. And I don't know. It's maybe a blend, but I believe you have some Malbec on it, yes.
So we think it's from South America.
Yes.
Okay. And what about in the audience? What do we got? We think it's South America, France. Where are you thinking? What do you think? France? South America? Okay.
Why?
Well, why?
Because I said so. Because when I drink it, I go, olé.
Not South America.
I could do that too.
All right, Laura, let's get the big reveal.
Oh, wow.
This one was a little more tricky. It was a red blend. It's the 2012 Guadal Tasso El Bruschetto. So it's Cabernet-based blend, so you guys were right.
Okay.
Absolutely on that.
I'm sorry, what is the wine?
It's the 2012 Guadal Tasso El Bruschetto.
Okay.
So it's Italian.
Mm-hmm.
And it's,
boy,
like I said, it's
Italian,
a red blend.
You all.
Allora, Italiano, va bene, va bene.
Did somebody know it? Somebody knew it out there?
I knew it.
And what year is it?
It's 2012.
Okay.
So it's 65% Cabernet, 20% Merlot, and 15% Syrah.
Okay.
All right.
No,
so,
but you're all like, I didn't taste any of that.
Yeah, but so what's interesting is, I mean, these guys are all for real wine experts and winemakers, and the world, I mean, we've gone so global that you get influences that might lead you one place and they're totally from another. It's interesting because it's tricky.
It is tricky, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, winemakers are adopting each other's styles. Winemakers travel and learn from each other. It's getting more and more complicated, but this was a toughie.
So do you guys sit around all day just drinking wine and figuring out?
I wish.
What do you do all day?
I mean, work.
Work.
No, but
I mean,
what does a wine director do?
He
directs wine.
Drinks a lot of wine.
That bottle over there. That bottle over
there. All right, Laura, you can start pouring the next one. And while you're doing that, let's find out about your restaurant programs. Joachim, let's talk about Osteria Marini and how you developed the wine program there.
Sure. Osteria Marini is an Italian restaurant, so I just missed an Italian wine, so that's awesome. we do focus heavily on our Italian wine program. We do want people to be introduced to Italian wine. For a lot of people, it is a very intimidating area for wine. There's 1,400 varietals just within Italy alone, or more actually now. What we do is we try to make it approachable. We have myself and another sommelier on staff. We definitely try to talk to every table about what kind of wines you like to drink. We try to match what kind of wine you might drink in your everyday life to an Italian wine or an Italian varietal that you've never heard of. So if you're a Chardonnay drinker, you know, we'll try to get you onto something that's grown in Sicily, like, you know, either, you know, Donna Fugatas, or, you know, we can get you into Suaves or stuff like that. We do also feature French and American wines just because we do want it to be easy for people to come in to have recognizable labels on the list for people that want to drink what they like. And we want to be able to provide that for our guests.
Okay, we lost Tom because he's getting competitive. I feel like the competition has been been risen.
Well, Jakob,
over here.
Let me ask you a quick question, because I'm always happy to say I lived in Italy for a while. And one of the things I noticed is that when you drink a wine on its own, there's a taste. When you pair it with different foods, that blending it changes both things. It changes the food and the wine. So how do you figure that out for your wine program?
Well, what's interesting is, and this last wine we tasted is a testament to that, is that more modern winemakers are making wines that are approachable to just be drunk young and to be, you know, drunk on its own, not with food. But Italian wines are traditionally meant to go with food. They're very dry in general, which means that they need fat, you know. So prosciutto and, you know, a dry red wine is just heavenly, because you get the fat from a prosciutto and you get the dryness of the wine, and they work really well together. I work very closely with our chef to make sure that, you know, we have an idea of what the pairings would be for the evening. If we have specials, you know, we definitely try to pair something with the special that we have on our list, just to make it easy for people to approach.
Well, Sebastian, so do you make wines because in your head you know that people are going to be drinking them on their own, but also pairing with certain kinds of foods? How do you manage it on your end?
I think both. I think I learn what people like, and I develop my palates in the same time, and, you know, I do my techniques, and I don't like to make commercial wine, so I don't want to be an easy wine to drink. I like to make wine who ages a long time and very bold. But in the same time, I need to know what people like, so I need to adapt my techniques to the palate of people, yes.
Okay, while you're talking, there's a lot of discussion going on at the other end of the table, because everybody wants to be in agreement. All right, has everybody had a chance to get the second wine, this wine? Did you get it? Okay, we all got the wine. Everybody's swirling. Okay.
Anybody ready to pass out in the back in the sun there?
No. Okay. So, Brent, let's start with you. What is your thought?
This is a lot of cocoa, a lot of plum. I mean, it smells like it has a lot of candied fruit to it. You can tell there's French oak on it. It's extremely fruit-forward, not too earthy, which makes me want to put it in the New World opposed to in Europe. So by process of elimination, that's where I've taken it so far. I'm kind of between a couple things right now, though.
Okay, but that's... You're not telling me anything.
Yeah.
No. That's not the rules of the game.
Hi, I'm going to be speaking in a non-committal voice.
Right. The rules of the game is you got to call it. So let's hear it. What's your guess?
With this amount of ripeness, this type of tannin grip, I'm still sticking with a Bordeaux varietal in the New World. I'm going to put this in Washington State Merlot with noticeable French oak on it.
Okay.
I love that New World. He sounds like Columbus.
Okay. All
in the New World.
Tom, what do you think?
I think I agree with Brent. There's a lot of plum on this, and there's a lot of spice. And Merlot is actually kind of a spicy grape. It exhibits like kind of sweet coffee, cocoa, things like that. And it kind of leads you in that direction. Plus, the fruit is really juicy, so I would agree that it's New World. Because Old World, it's a cooler climate, so you tend to have more acidity and less fruit. Whereas the New World, you have a more like a lower acidity and more rich fruit. So I think I would agree that this is probably a Merlot. That it's a New World Merlot. I would say maybe Washington State, California.
Okay. All right. At least we're narrowing it down just a little bit. Okay. Jakob?
Yeah, I would have to agree. You know, this is... I think I lost my mic.
No, you're there.
Oh, all right. I can't hear myself. Yeah, from the nose, lots of red fruit, plum, definitely. And plum is one of those indicators of Merlot. But it's pretty grippy. I mean, they put a lot of wood in this wine. I'm going to go with Merlot as well. We got it wrong once. We might as well try again.
Okay, so Merlot from, where are you saying?
I'm going to say a little bit warmer climate. I'm going to say California Merlot.
Okay, and Sebastian, I'm going to let you go, and then let's just see if we can narrow it down a little bit. Can we get to a year? So, Sebastian, what are you thinking?
I certainly think it's Merlot with a little bit of Cab Franc. I get the black peppery, so I'm pretty confident, I would say, that you have some Cab Franc black pepper flavor as well. It's pretty young wine, very young and pretty tannic and a lot of oak. So it's maybe a 2012.
Okay. Gentlemen, 2012?
This definitely drinks young. I would say, if not 12, 11, but probably 12.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree with that.
All right.
I would agree.
All right, Laura, we're ready for the big reveal.
We were incredibly close.
Yay! Finally.
That's from Washington State. It's Columbia Crest Icon Wine, the Walter Clore. It's 2010. It is Merlot-based, Bordeaux blend. So.
All right, we got one.
Yay, you're right.
That's terrific.
Wait, they're wine experts.
Yay.
Hey.
So, Laura, tell us a little bit about this wine company. Just tell us a little bit about it and the wine itself.
This wine is, like I said, it's our icon wine, and it's named after Walter Clore, who was the viticulturist in Washington State that really launched the winemaking industry. He did some experiments with the vinifera grape in the state, and it went well, and really with his success launched the wine industry in the state.
All right, fantastic. All right, we have, I think, two more wine tastings left.
I don't know if we're going to make that, but
we're
going to
try. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to taste more wines. We're going to find out more about the guys standing here on the panel. This is David and Nikki Nellis for Foodie and the Beast. We are live at the National Harbor Wine and Food Fest. Everybody
Bob,
should come
Bowie.
Down, and we'll be back in just a sec.
Hey, everybody, it's David and Nikki, Foodie and the Beast, here to tell you all about Great Tastes of Tyson's, the fun food and wine festival happening May 31st and June 1st out of Tyson's Corner. There are going to be 150 wine vendors from all around the world. You can taste spirits and brews, including craft brews from all around the D.C. area. There's a great cooking stage with the sources Scott Druneau, Washington Post food editor Joe Yonan, and lots more. For information, go to tastetysons.com. We'll see you out there.
Hey, Mom, why is the sky blue? Why don't animals talk? Why do dogs have wet noses? Why is an 11 pronounced 1T1?
Kids ask a lot of questions.
Why do I have a belly button?
But you don't have to know every answer.
Why is the ocean salty?
Because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent.
Why are there 50 states?
There are thousands of children in foster care who don't need every question answered.
Why is pizza around?
They just need you. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
GovEvents.com is your one-stop shop for government and military events worldwide. With hundreds of event organizers posting their government and military-related conferences, trade shows, expos, webcasts, and more, you'll save time and energy using GovEvents to find events to attend, exhibit, or sponsor. Search for government and military events by date, location, keyword, organizer, or focus. It's free, so join today. GovEvents.com. That's GovEvents.com.
The American Veterans Center invites you to attend the 2014 National Memorial Day Parade, Monday, May 26th at 2 p.m. along Constitution Avenue. Join thousands as we honor the sacrifices of our military from the American Revolution to today, featuring musical performances, marching bands, celebrities, and active duty personnel, all made possible with support from Strayer University, Wells Fargo, and visitmyrtlebeach.com. To learn more about how you can see the parade, visit nationalmemorialdayparade.com.
All right, we're back on Foodie and the Beast with the fabulous David Nellis and the bland Nikki Nellis here at
Thank you. That's so nice.
It's the only shot I get.
Okay.
I want to just briefly say hi to a friend of ours.
Does anybody know him?
You know him from Top Chef.
Mike
you know
Isabella's
him from Raffiato and Capnos and G. And it was at his restaurant that our sandwich triumphed over all the others. And so
we beat the Druneau.
All right, so real quick, we just want to thank the National Harbor.
We don't need you.
You're talking. Don't talk. The National. She's always talking. It's like my life. The National Harbor Wine and Food Festival. We want to thank all our sponsors, Georgetown Bagelry, Brent's Neighborhood Restaurant Group, the folks from Black's Restaurant Group, Early Mountain Vineyard, the American Land Board, the Virginia Wine Board, and anybody who's listening who's not a sponsor, shame on you, but you can still get in on it. So we're going to do another tasting. Yes?
Yes.
All right.
All right. Now, Greg Nivens, you need to put that mic on because you're throwing down a gauntlet.
The money's coming in here.
Okay.
All right. So does everybody know Greg Nivens?
Greg runs the festival.
He runs this festival. He's the one who brought us all here today. Let's give a round of applause for Greg Nivens. He's the man.
He is
Woo!
The man. He's not just the man. He's my man.
He's a man.
My main man.
All right. So, Greg, tell us what we're doing today.
Oh, this is in my bailiwick here. This is my favorite wine producer.
Okay.
I'm not going to give you any hints. All I'm going to tell you is we're going to put some money on the table. If we can guess...
you're going to win some money.
Yeah, if we can guess the country or place of origin. I won't say country. I'll say place of origin.
This is just for the audience, not for those on the panel.
Oh, no. This is still for the panel.
No.
If anybody here can do it, $50 for we find the place. If you can tell me what the grape or the blend is that this is made of, the varietal, that's another $50.
Okay.
And if anybody can name the producer, it's $100.
Whoa. Oh, my God. It's getting very serious in the house.
Yes.
So does everybody have their wine? Are you all smelling it?
Does anybody need wine? That's the question.
I mean, we got a couple people who need
wine. Right there.
Raise your hand. They'll bring you some wine.
Essential that these people get in on this.
Okay. All right. So everybody swirl, smell, and sip. All right.
Hey, Lawrence, can we get these folks here?
Yeah, she's right over there. Okay, she's bringing
them on.
Okay. So Greg has laid down a challenge for the entire audience. Oh, my God. Everybody is coming now. Look at this. You say there's some money, and everybody comes over. Okay. So who's ready up on the stage? Who's ready to talk about it? Tom, you ready to give a couple?
This is a pretty interesting wine. It's kind of a medium acid. There's a lot of kind of jammy berry fruit going on there, and there's a little bit of residual sugar and sweetness. The finish is on the short side, and you get a little bit of oak going on in there too.
Mm-hmm. It's really soft. It's a very soft wine.
It is soft. You know, and there's some good fruitiness, but like the medium acidity is kind of, I wish there was like just a touch more acidity to draw the fruit out a little bit.
Okay. Let's hear it.
I would say it's a Cabernet Franc, and this could possibly be from the New World again because of the fruitiness, maybe East Coast, maybe Virginia.
Okay, we got a Virginia Cab Franc. Okay. Brent, what about you, man? What do you think?
There's a lot of candied fruit on this, to the point where the fruit almost smells sweet on the nose, even though it finishes dry. The grapes that normally do that for me are Syrah and Zinfandel, so I would actually take this to a Sonoma Zinfandel.
Ooh, okay. And Joachim, what do you got?
I definitely get a lot of the sweeter fruits, dark red fruits. This is a hot wine.
What does that mean when you say
a lot of alcohol on this?
Okay.
I think this is a blend. I think this is a cab-based blend, probably with a little bit of Merlot in it. I'm going to say California, possibly Paso Robles. And if you want the name, I'm going to guess Justin Winery.
Okay, wow. We're going down.
Wow.
All right.
Guys, that is awesome. Going home in a Ferrari, for God's sake.
Justin.
Okay, Sebastian, let's hear what you think.
I think it's... not quite sure, to tell you the truth, but
okay.
But I think it's
he's just a winemaker. It's okay.
A Bordeaux blend, but you have so much spice on this wine, so this is what is confusing me a little bit. But it's hot. It's a lot of alcohol.
That's why everybody's sitting now, because they finished their glass of wine.
Some are sleeping.
No. I will say Napa Valley Cab Sauv or Bordeaux blend.
Okay. All right. What about in the audience? What do we got? Who thinks it's what? Anybody know for sure? Merlot? Got to give us a little more. Merlot, Syrah, do we have a region? Like, where do you think? Syrah? From where? California, Syrah? Okay, anybody else? You've been naming them all the whole time. Come on, you got to have something for me.
With the panel? Yeah. With
so what? You don't have to pay $50 to be wrong. You're
yes.
Just getting
no, no, no.
If
yes.
You're right.
Yes, he does.
Would the panel say it's young, or would you say it's... ready to? Should we have uncorked this today, or should we wait a little longer?
It's a young
wine.
Everybody
thinks it's young. Okay.
I haven't given my opinion. I'm gonna say it was bottled yesterday in Brooklyn.
David, you know me. That's the problem.
All right, Greg. Let's do the big reveal.
I know. Greg wants to keep that money.
Oh no. I'm not that bad. This is 100% Grenache from Spain.
Oh, my God. You're all wrong. And he keeps his money.
Yes, I get to keep all my money. I'm going to keep the rest of this bottle, too.
Okay.
Save it for a few years.
All right, so, Greg, tell us a little bit about that wine. And then for people who can come to the festival on Sunday,
yes.
Tell them what's going on here. Let's give them a 411.
Well, it's a fantastic. This is my favorite producer. It's Bodegas Altamoncayo. They are headquartered in Rioja, and just south of Rioja. And this is their highest end. You would see Altamoncayo in a lot of restaurants. They also have our folks out front tasted something called Veriton, which is a little bit lower. And then this is the higher end Aquilon. Fun place to go. I can't wait to get there in Spain this summer. But the show goes on today till 6 o'clock, goes on till tomorrow till 6 o'clock, noon to 6. We have the VIP pier. We have some fantastic chefs that are going to be out here, and we invite everybody to come out, enjoy the show, and just keep having fun. The best part about a lot of these wines is you can buy them right here at special show prices. So that's
all the wines we had today you can buy. So
absolutely.
All the wines you tasted today you can buy here at the festival. Any of the wines that you like today, you can try. Great.
Right.
Can you tell us, just 1 minute, just tell everybody about some of the vendors that are here so they have an idea of what's going on?
Oh, well, there's over 150 different types of wine, spirits, beers. There's a great beer garden here with wonderful Belgian beers that we have.
So you could go from wine to beer. You can leave this thing and
shopping,
go over for beer.
There are crafts, art.
And then fall in the river.
Lots of food out on the VIP pier. We have everything from hamburgers and hot dog sliders to Greek food, Mediterranean food out there. Everything. Sushi. We have a deconstructed sushi plate out there.
Ooh, that sounds good.
There's some fun stuff here.
All right. Speaking of deconstruction, I have to deconstruct the show because we're almost done. Nikki and I are Foodie and the Beast. We're on 1500 AM every Sunday morning at 11. And we bring you chefs and somms and farmers and mixologists and even marine biologists to talk about sustainability and what's going on in our oceans. So if you're around at 11 on a Sunday, turn on the radio, 1500 AM. I want to thank all our guests, Brent Kroll, Tom Finnegan, Joachim Zeip, Sebastian Marquette, Scott Druneau, wherever he is, and Laura Sorge, who was terrific where she...
She's back there. She's
right.
Back there with her
now,
wine.
Now, if you want to know what's going on in the food and wine scene, Nikki's website is thelistareyouonit.com. It's free to subscribe. Tells you everything happening. Hundreds of events every month across the D.C. region. You can follow her on Twitter. You can listen to her on WTOP. That's 103.5 FM. Sundays at 10 of 1, except for today.
Right.
And Thursdays at 12:50.
Yes.
I did it.
Okay,
all
very
right.
Good.
So I want to thank you for joining us today.
And also, before we wrap it up, if you stay here, Mike Isabella is up next. Then Rock Harper, and then Scott Druneau. We have a full day of cooking demos. You don't want to miss any of it. We want to thank all of you for joining us today, drinking some wine, having a good time. And we want to tell those of you listening, please have a delicious week.